Welcome to Grounded Wellness, your go-to podcast for simplified and trusted information on how to live a more non-toxic and holistic life. We're your hosts. I'm Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, biohacking enthusiast and mom of three.
And I'm Courtney O'Connor, holistic esthetician with over 15 years experience in the healing power of touch and holistic skincare rituals.
Let's dig in. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Grounded Wellness coming to you from the farm. For those of you who are listening and not watching, I want to mention that we are literally recording this episode on the farm in the middle of the pasture, exposed to the elements. There's animals running around in the background. There's wind. The wind is really intense right now, and our podcast crew does a really good job of getting the sound quality right for these, but my hair is probably going to be blowing in my face the entire time today. But it always keeps things fun and interesting. Okay, today I'm going to be talking about professional skin treatments. This is a conversation that we have dabbled in on social media, and it always sparks a lot of conversation and oftentimes controversy. So I wanted to tackle this more in depth on the podcast. I'm going to be talking about popular skin treatments that it seems like everyone is getting these days, things like Botox and filler, and then also things like lasers, microneedling, radio frequency, filler alternatives, facial acupuncture, and more. I'm going to walk through exactly what all of these are and some of the risks associated with them, which ones have my stamp of approval, and which ones do not. And it's kind of funny because whenever I talk about Botox, I always get a few people who comment and will say that my face doesn't move or my forehead doesn't move when I talk, and that therefore I must be getting Botox. And I think there are a few reasons why it may seem that way. One, I have a really big forehead. If you're watching this, you can see I have a big forehead. So there is a lot of room for expressions, and I don't really have pronounced forehead lines. I have other issues, but I don't really have super noticeable forehead lines or like 11s. And I think that this is also something that people comment on when I get facials, that my forehead is really smooth. And I honestly just think it's because it's so big and there's a lot of space there. And then second, when you start to incorporate some form of facial massage into your routine on a regular basis, your whole face just starts to relax more. You aren't holding as much tension in your face. And I'll talk about this more later on, but things are just more relaxed and smooth. But all that to say, my face does in fact move. And if you're watching, you can see like I'm raising my eyebrows, lots of movement, like it moves. It just may not be as noticeable sometimes. And full disclosure, as we get into all of this, I also want to communicate where I am at personally with professional skin treatments. At the time of this recording, I have not had any of these procedures done that I'm about to talk about, aside from the super holistic things like gua sha treatments, buccal massage, facial acupuncture, things like that. And I would put these in an entirely different category than things like Botox and fillers and even things like laser and microneedling. Some of these treatments that I just mentioned are a no, never for me, and some I would consider getting, and I'll get into all of that. But I am really coming at all of this from a place of curiosity and also skepticism. Our culture is so obsessed with looking young forever. And I don't think it's wrong to want to look and feel your best. We have all been given one body to steward, and I think it's a good thing to take care of ourselves. And part of that involves taking care of how we look. But I think it can also turn into an idol of sorts when we put too much time and resources and energy into our appearance. So when I'm thinking about all of this, I'm really focusing on three things. And one is safety and risks. So I'm asking questions like, is it safe? Is it toxic? What are the risks, et cetera? I personally am not willing to make sacrifices when it comes to my health and well-being just to improve my appearance. So those sorts of treatments are a no, never for me. Second is the logistics of it. So things like cost, downtime, number of appointments, or how long the results will last, all of these things need to be factored in as well. And then lastly, I'm thinking about just my heart behind all of it. I want to make sure that my heart is in the right place when thinking about these types of things. I'm the founder of a skincare company. I want to have nice skin. I'm in front of the camera a lot, and I want to look healthy and vibrant and represent my company well. And I think it's cool that there are cutting-edge treatments out there that actually improve the health of the skin while also making a difference in how the skin looks. But I don't want this to take up more real estate in my heart and mind than it should. And this can become problematic with more invasive procedures, for sure. I think we see this a lot in culture, but I think it can also be an issue with less invasive procedures. Something I've noticed as I've started researching all of this is that there are a lot of people in this space talking about these sorts of things who might set out to fix one thing, and then that leads to another treatment or procedure, and then another and another, and it just becomes this hamster wheel of never being satisfied with how you look. I want to have an open-handed approach with everything in life, including the appearance of my skin, and not hold too tightly to anything or feel like I need XYZ treatment in order to be happy. And that's because physical beauty is so fleeting. I know I have felt like my prettiest self one day and then my least beautiful self the next day. So taking care of ourselves and taking care of our appearance can be a good thing, but we shouldn't put all of our eggs in that basket or else we'll end up disappointed. With all of that being said, I promise that we're getting close to the actual information, but I just also want to say, please do your own research with all of this. I'm going to share my thoughts based on research that I've done and conversations that I've had with different doctors and plastic surgeons. But whatever you are thinking about doing, please look into it on your own as well. Okay, I'm going to start with what I think are the most common quick fix procedures that are becoming very accessible and widely used, and those are Botox and filler. I've talked about both of these before, but I'm gonna cover them again because I think they're a really important part of this conversation. Spoiler alert, both of these are a no, never for me, but there's no judgment if you are already having these procedures done or if you decide to do them in the future. This isn't about shame or judgment. The point here is just to share information. With Botox, the purpose is to address wrinkles. I think most people know that. Botox does this by paralyzing muscles in the face. It prevents the face from moving and therefore creating the lines and wrinkles that occur from those repetitive movements. The problem with inhibiting that movement is that movement is critical for creating healthy skin tissue. We want movement and circulation and lymphatic flow to create better skin. And when we paralyze the muscles in the face regularly for years and years and years, that will result in muscle weakening and potentially even muscle atrophy over time. Botulinum toxin is also one of the most poisonous substances known to man. It has been talked about for use in chemical warfare. It adds to your body's overall toxic load, and it has the potential to burden the immune system and cause side effects. We hear anecdotal stories about this happening all the time within our community whenever we post online about Botox. And with filler, specifically synthetic hyaluronic acid filler, the purpose is to address volume loss in the face. So I think the main two concerns a lot of people have are wrinkles and loss of volume. And Botox and filler address both of those things in a very accessible way, which is why I think these treatments have become so popular in recent years. But our body actually makes its own hyaluronic acid. So I think when most people think about fillers that have hyaluronic acid, they think that it's a good thing because we also make this on our own. But the problem with the synthetic hyaluronic acid in filler is that it's not your body's own hyaluronic acid. It's synthetic. And because of this, the filler itself can become swollen and inflamed when the immune system is triggered. So this can happen months or years after the filler is injected, when the body is under stress, dealing with a sickness, after getting a vaccine, or really anything that triggers the immune system can cause a subsequent reaction in the filler. Filler can also cause lymphatic blockages. So this is a problem because a healthy lymphatic system is essential for draining fluids and flushing toxins, both of which help to create a youthful, glowing complexion. The commonly held perspective is that fillers dissolve on their own within 6 months, but we know now that that isn't true. Filler can remain in the face for 10 plus years, and we know this because plastic surgeons are finding filler in the face when they, you know, cut into faces in surgery, and the patients that they're finding it in got the filler a decade ago. So we know this has been verified time and time again. Filler does not dissolve on its own within 6 months. It can be dissolved using an enzyme that's used to dissolve hyaluronic acid, but then you run the risk of also dissolving your own native hyaluronic acid, and then you have even more volume loss as a result. Filler can also move around and migrate to different places within the face. So as you can see, there are a lot of risks associated with Botox and fillers. And the sad thing is that there are so many injectors administering these now, and it has become very casual, similar to getting a haircut. But I don't think a lot of these injectors are fully aware of the risks themselves, and the people who they're injecting are definitely not aware of all the risks. And I also don't think that a lot of these injectors have the artistry involved to make people look good and natural. And that's why we are seeing so many people that have the same overfilled look. In fact, there's a phenomenon now called perception drift, where how we see and remember ourselves resets each time our appearance changes, and then that becomes our new normal. We see this for sure in individuals who undergo multiple plastic surgeries, and also in people who get a lot of filler injected. Their perception of themselves resets after each change is made, and eventually they look like a completely different person. So we have all seen this in different celebrities and probably in people who we know as well. I think it's a really unfortunate trend. There is something so cool and special about just looking the way God made you and maintaining your own unique look. Sadly, I feel like that's becoming more and more rare these days. And with filler especially, it does seem like it's really easy once you start getting it to get caught up in that hamster wheel of perception drift. Now I'm going to get into skin treatments that I would consider to be very nuanced and gray areas, because I think some of these can be really good and also not so good, depending on a lot of different factors. The world of lasers is very complicated and confusing. There are hundreds of different types of lasers, so many different brand names. And for that reason, I'm not gonna cover every different brand of laser. I'm just gonna put them into a few different buckets, a few different categories. And there are also a lot of practitioners administering lasers who aren't well trained. And I think a lot of people are being damaged by some of these treatments not being done in the right way for their individual skin concerns. And so it's so important. We'll get into like the types, but I think it's just the most important thing to find the right practitioner to work with on getting the right laser treatment for you. But that being said, lasers are very cool and they can be effective in boosting the health and appearance of the skin when utilized correctly. They can do things like fix discoloration, remove sun-damaged cells. They can boost collagen and elastin and can also help with texture and scarring. Lasers can be broken down into two main categories, and that's ablative lasers and non-ablative lasers. So ablative lasers are more intense and they affect the outer and the inner layers of the skin. They vaporize the tissue immediately and they require more downtime. An example of this would be a CO2 laser. Non-ablative lasers don't create as much heat and don't vaporize tissue. They send heat to the inner layers of the skin, which activates healing mechanisms. They are gentler, but arguably less effective. Examples of this would be Fraxel or PicoSure. Kind of a subcategory of lasers is fractional versus non-fractional. And this just describes whether or not the laser is applied to the entire surface of the skin, which would be non-fractional, or in a pixelated manner and applied more so in columns, which would be fractional. Fractional lasers are generally considered to be safer because the controlled wound is more targeted. And then there's IPL and BBL. These are photofacials. They're not technically considered lasers since they contain more than one wavelength of light, and lasers only contain one. They're in this separate category, and they're generally used to treat hyperpigmentation. So they target red or brown spots in the skin, and there's also less downtime with these types of treatments. Personally, I would get a laser treatment, but I would find the right practitioner to work with on this, someone who I really trusted, who has a lot of experience, and who would be able to figure out the exact right laser treatment for me. Next, we're going to talk about microneedling. We get asked about microneedling so often. Microneedling uses a tool with tiny needles to puncture holes in the skin with the goal of stimulating your skin's natural healing responses. It's used to address a variety of skin concerns, from signs of aging to texture to pigmentation and scarring. I think that microneedling by itself is an inferior treatment. I don't like the idea of damaging the skin and pulling from the skin's nutrient stores to repair that damage without a growth factor of some sort like PRP or exosomes to help aid in that recovery. So PRP is platelet-rich plasma. And in this process, the blood is drawn, it's spun in a centrifuge, which separates out the platelet-rich plasma. The PRP is then spread onto the skin after a microneedling treatment to sink into these little mini injuries to help speed up the healing process and repair the skin more efficiently. And with exosomes, I am not an expert in cellular biology, but as I understand it, exosomes are the messenger part of a cell. They contain more growth factors than PRP and directly transport nutrients in addition to aiding with healing and regeneration by supporting communication within cells. I think PRP used to be kind of the gold standard with microneedling, and now it seems like a lot of people are moving towards exosomes, but it's still this new area. And so I think some people are a little leery of exosomes in general. And then there's also PDRN. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the full word that this acronym stands for. You may have heard of this as the salmon semen facial. A lot of people are describing it that way. It's kind of true, not fully true. Lauren Bostick talks about this a lot. She gets this done regularly. I know that because she's mentioned it in her podcast, and I was also on her podcast as a guest, and she had just had this done right before we recorded. But this is a highly potent and regenerative serum derived from the DNA of salmon sperm. It supports tissue regeneration and wound healing, collagen and elastin, and even anti-inflammatory and hydrating properties. So I would do microneedling with a growth factor of some sort. I would, again, find a trusted practitioner to see for this. I would make sure that they aren't going too deep with the needles, and I would also not recommend doing this at home. There are several at-home microneedling devices out there, and I would really caution against those. Radio frequency. We're going to talk about radio frequency next. So the goal of radio frequency treatments is usually to tighten the skin, and some examples of this would be Morpheus 8 or Forma. And some of these are effective in doing just that, in tightening the skin. However, they come with the risk of melting away fat, which is not something that you want in the face. They can also change the structure of collagen within the skin. And there are a lot of anecdotal reports of plastic surgeons who have noticed that patients who have undergone a lot of these types of treatments have skin tissue that is now sticky and abnormal. So I would exercise so much caution with any treatment that involves radio frequency and be very, very careful about finding the right practitioner and maybe even avoiding this altogether. This is probably not something that I would do. Okay, next up, we're going to talk about stem cell injections. In this procedure, stem cells are taken either from your own body, from adipose, fat tissue, or bone marrow, or they are donated, usually from placental or umbilical cord cells, and then injected into the deep layers of the skin. So as we know, stem cells are amazing for healing and repair anywhere they're placed. So when they're injected into the skin, they are really effective in rejuvenating the skin in every way. That means boosting collagen and elastin, reducing inflammation, thickening the skin, diminishing signs of aging, addressing scarring, you name it. And this is something that I would probably do, but it's definitely a more costly and time-intensive procedure. I have talked a lot with Dr. Amy Killen in Park City, Utah. She is an expert in doing this, and if I were to have this done, I would go to her. So I would probably use my own autologous stem cells, but I also really vetted her on how she gets the allogenic donated stem cells that she sometimes uses, and found out that they are donated from umbilical cord cells from full-term healthy pregnancies, which is something that is important for me. I also feel really good about her expertise and experience in this area in general. This is definitely not something that I would just go anywhere for. Okay, we're going to get into some natural filler alternatives next. And the first one I'm going to talk about is facial fat transfer. With this treatment, fat is taken from one part of the body, usually the abdomen, then it's processed and separated, so you're left with just the ultra pure stem cell rich fat. So this is different from stem cells. It's not exclusively stem cells. It's just fat that has an abundance of stem cells in it. The fat is then injected into the face to help boost plumpness and address volume loss. This seems like a really cool treatment to me. This is another more expensive treatment to get. You can't just get this at a med spa. It needs to be done by a plastic surgeon, but definitely seems like a good alternative to hyaluronic acid filler. And because of the stem cells in the fat, it can also help to rejuvenate the actual skin and improve the health of the skin overall. Another more natural filler alternative is biofiller. And biofiller is also really unique. It's created from your own plasma, which is spun in a centrifuge and then heated and cooled to form a biocompatible and plasma-rich gel. That gel is then injected into the face as normal filler would be. So to me, this is a much safer alternative to traditional filler, since the material being injected is native to your own body. I think biofiller is something that you need to do every 6 months or so to keep up with. And from what I understand, it also isn't very cost prohibitive. So that concludes my list of the more nuanced professional skin treatments. And I want to finish by giving you guys my list of no-brainers. And this includes buccal massage, which is intraoral facial massage. They kind of like put their hand inside of your mouth and massage your face and jaw, like from the inside out. It feels amazing. It's really good for relieving tension in the jaw and face and boosting lymphatic flow and promoting healthy tissue. There's facial acupuncture, which is where tiny and painless needles are inserted into specific points on the face to stimulate collagen and elastin, increase circulation, and open up new pathways for healing. There's gua sha, and with gua sha, gemstones are used in repetitive strokes in a specific pattern on the face with gentle pressure to clear blockages, promote drainage, and support blood flow and nutrient delivery. And then there's facial cupping. Facial cupping involves small silicone cups that are gently suctioned to the skin and moved in a specific pattern that depuffs, encourages blood flow, promotes lymphatic drainage, and overall skin health. And then there's self-facial massage at home. So this is just daily at-home facial massage to help contour the skin and face, break up adhesions in fascia, increase circulation, plump the skin, and support the nervous system overall. I routinely utilize all of these holistic skin treatments and tools, both by professionals and also by myself at home, because they have proven benefits and are virtually risk-free. Consistency is really key with all of these. I don't do all of them all the time, but I am always incorporating some form of manual facial massage, and it really makes a difference over time. In addition to all of these treatments, we really can't ignore the foundational basics of skincare. And for me, this involves not only being super consistent with your skincare routine and using clean, non-toxic products, which is super important, but also what you eat, eating whole foods and avoiding ultra-processed foods, getting adequate sleep, managing stress, spending time outdoors. All of that falls under the realm of caring for the skin, because as we know, the skin is part of the body. You can't separate skin health from overall health. And I would argue that these things are more important and more foundational than any of the professional skin treatments that we talked about today. But I do think that there is potentially a place for some of them, depending on your unique skin concerns. And this is really in line with our philosophy as a brand of utilizing both ancestral practices as well as modern technologies and advancements. So I hope this was helpful or at the least just interesting to learn about. It certainly has been interesting for me to research. And like I said, I have not tried any of these yet, but may pull the trigger on a laser treatment to address sun damage from years of competitive swimming and lifeguarding, or maybe microneedling with a growth factor of some sort in the future. So I will keep you guys updated on that. And thank you, as always, for trusting me to provide honest and transparent information to the best of my ability. And please let us know on social media or in the comments, if you're watching this on YouTube, what topics you would like to see me and Courtney cover next. We always love hearing from you guys. See you next time at the farm.